Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we do get into an interesting discussion, around logistics, because in the background, when we're talking about the world of e-commerce, there's a lot of logistics that actually goes into it, in this digital economy, and So we're going to be talking to PickUp, which is a technology business that offers crowdsourced last mile delivery service for a number of businesses out there. We last spoke on this particular platform to PickUp. Quite interestingly enough, we last had them on this podcast in November 2019, around Black Friday time. Around Black Friday time, and specifically Antonio, who we're going to be talking to today, who is our founder and CEO. I last spoke to him at the beginning of 2020 before we get into COVID-19. So I'm sure that there's a lot that has happened in the business ever since then. Antonio, greetings to you today.
Greetings, Vidiwe. Thanks for having me on the show.
I think a good place for us to start is to maybe get a sense of PickUp itself as a business. I just gave a little bit of a description just now around what the business is, at least, from an elevator point of view. But maybe you can give us a deeper understanding of what the business actually does. We understand that you guys were recently acquired by Karooooo, which operates CarTrack in South Africa. Just talk to us about the business.
PickUp's a last mile delivery and technology company focused at the sort of delivery as a service space. We started in 2014 and have actively been out there building software and driving a large driver network, crowdsourced, we call it, obviously, gig economy driver network. So that's been our focus over the years, and showing a lot of success, obviously, with COVID coming through and the large requirement for companies to access quick delivery as a service platform. We've been able to fill that spot for a lot of companies around South Africa. So we are growing quite actively, and it's good to be in this exciting space.
So as I said just now, you guys, the last time that we engaged with you, it was a startup business, and you guys were growing quite a bit. This was before we got into COVID-19, and then we have the acquisition, part that happened with Karooooo. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they took a 70% equity stake in the business. Could you just talk to us around, that particular transaction, and I guess, subsequent to that, what life has been like for PickUp?
Yeah, that transaction was concluded last year with Karooooo buying 70% of PickUp, and it was largely around the synergies that are there between both companies in terms of the technology. So PickUp's been active. We've been very active in building a software as a service platform alongside the delivery as a service platform. And the synergies with CarTrack were evident very early on in our early discussions with them. And we concluded the transaction, and it's been it's been a very good, exciting partnership to date. We've been able to obviously grow the technology further, and then also been able to grow the business, delivery as a service business over the last year. So, lots of exciting things happening, and very excited to be a part of the whole journey.
And when it comes to that particular journey, obviously we've covered some of the big events, you know, that have happened, the acquisition, the type of business that you guys are in. But at the moment, you know, could you give us maybe an idea of what your business looks like in terms of any metrics that you can share, number of drivers in your network, you know, that type of thing that you could help us to maybe contextualize for someone who's listening and just, you know, trying to understand, you know, how big the business is.
Yeah. So obviously with the synergies with CarTrack, we've actively over the last year actively been working on building the delivery technology within the CarTrack platform out further, so that essentially to which will benefit a lot of the customers that alongside the telematics they use to also facilitate the delivery part. So digitizing, we call it sort of digitizing that whole logistics process. So a lot of companies now are trying to better understand how to how they can save money through basic route optimization software applications. And that's largely essentially what we do and what we've built out. And again, the synergies with CarTrack and the reason for the investment was to extend this technology really into the CarTrack platform and offer the wide database of clients better technology in order, delivery technology rather, to provide better services to their customers. So it's naturally you know, with a big organization like CarTrack, it's taken some time for us to get the partnership going. And yeah, we're in full swing now, and we're building out the software, and we'll soon be launching it to the wide database for CarTrack customers around the world. So from that aspect, it's taking time as things do. So we've been actively focusing on that alongside the delivery as a service platform in pickup, and that over the last year has really scaled. So since the acquisition, we've actively been pushing the delivery as a service business, and it's grown exponentially. We've somewhat 6x'd our turnover since the acquisition, which is in under a year or just over a year's period. And it's really taken us to the next level in terms of the types of delivery as a service offerings we can offer customers. We actively work, we're the sole provider on the Pick and Pay ASAP platform, so we service all Pick and Pays around the country, and along with Dis-Chem, Absolute Pets are a new customer that's onboarded we've recently onboarded onto the platform, and quite exciting. We'll soon move into some of the food space to actively service some of the big national companies with their with food distribution around the country. So yeah, very very exciting space to be in. It definitely is challenging building software as a service and running the delivery as a service platform, but the two go hand in hand very, very well. Very exciting to be part of this the space at the moment.
That really sounds like there's been, you know, quite a bit of growth, especially the 6x, the 6x number that you gave just now. That's really big. And also some of the clients, that you're bringing in, right now, the Pick and Pay partnership that you're highlighting, really great, to see all of that activity. And I'm pretty sure that all of it has been driven, the success of Pickup has been driven in large part by the growing use of online retail, e-commerce, all of that, and the need to have that logistics backbone in the background. And obviously you guys do a lot to, you know, put that in place for businesses that would either not have the capacity or would rather outsource that particular component. So maybe you could talk to us just around what your network has actually entailed, how many drivers do you have on the platform? And because you started off, one of the things that I heard you saying at the beginning was the fact that you guys are very active in the gig economy, which obviously implies the fact that, you know, there are a lot of, drivers on the platform, work, independently and all of that. So just talk to us about the gig economy factor and, you know, providing that logistics layer for a lot of e-commerce operations in SA.
Yes, since day one, we've put a big focus into understanding the crowdsourced driver network in South Africa, what it takes to onboard a worldwide, they call it a gig worker. And that's essentially someone that registers on our platform. They have their own vehicle. They bring their own smartphone. And as long as they have the basic skill sets to use the app, they start working almost immediately. And understanding the quality of that network has been very, very important for us. We do obviously do background checks to onboard drivers, but then once they get going, it's really about understanding the quality of the service they bring to the platform and offer to our customers, and sticking with the legends, we call all our network legends. Providing work to them is very important, and the opportunity to earn money. So at the moment, I think the last count was roughly about 4,500 active drivers on our platform. Obviously that varies week to week. And the beauty about it is our legends, you know, they can work on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on a Thursday. If they have other engagements, personal engagements, they don't work, and they come back on the Saturday and they work in their own time. So obviously, the requirement for the number of legends from our perspective, it needs to be quite vast, because at any given time you have someone, a legend, on the platform, and the next day is not. So we need to ensure we match the supply and demand, and that's been a big learning curve on our side, to understand, to build technology that allows us to meet the demands from our customers. I think we've in these years we've really understood that and built software that's allowed us to service that demand from customers, and in turns allowed us to onboard customers like your Pick and Pay ASAPs, the Skim, this whole growing space of e-commerce and quick commerce rather. Is growing further. So yeah, it's really exciting, and when we look at what we pay out our network on a weekly basis, I think we have to almost 4 million a week that we pay out to our driver network. So it's a good story. I think everyone in our office are very proud that we're doing our bit in terms of supporting being able to provide income opportunities for South Africans around the country. So, yeah, hugely exciting, and Matt, go from strength to strength as we move on.
That's actually quite a leap that you're talking about right now. The 4 million that's being paid out to drivers, in a single week, just showing the size and magnitude, of the business that you guys are operating. One of the things I'm a little bit curious about, when it comes to driving that logistics layer for businesses around the country, is when you look at trying to fulfill orders, there tends to be a bit of a disparity between the type of access that people in major cities have versus maybe people in outlying areas, secondary cities, rural areas. How have you guys gone about attacking that piece, of the puzzle?
Great question. I think probably the most challenging thing that we face on a daily basis is the wider coverage. It's very, when you get to our scale, it's easy to provide to recruit legends in the main centres, because that's where, you know, most of the work is. But the minute our customers are looking to further their reach and provide a different value proposition to their competitors, they're looking to extend their reach into the outlying areas like Nelspruit, Polokwane. And so it has been a challenge for us, but fortunately we've got a very strong recruitment team and a very large database of drivers that are wanting to sign up to the platform. And the minute we have volume or order volume that needs to be activated in certain areas, we simply onboarded a legend in that area, and we monitor him, and he's available to work. So it really is being on the front foot and being able to meet the demands from customers. To give you an example, Walton's is one of our long-standing customers that we've been working with for almost over 5 years, and we've been instilling our technology into their overall business process. And very recently they simply, I think it was in the span of a week, launched an on-demand service in Nelspruit, Polokwane. I think it's three outlying areas that they're offering same-day delivery. And it's just simply because we have coverage in those areas. You know, we service our big blue chip customers in those areas. We've got a driver network. So what it really does now is we had that opportunity where we have the coverage, and big national companies wanting to increase their delivery presence around South Africa. We kind of the go-to players at the moment, that allows them to get access to those areas. So it's exciting, and we're working actively at that scale and that growth and that coverage around covering more and more of the smaller parts of South Africa. And in turn, in those areas, providing income opportunities. You know, in some of those remote towns, income opportunities are very, very scarce. So the legends that onboard are very loyal. They're reliable, and they know the more work they do, the better the customers enjoy the service, and in turn, the workload increases. So informing, keeping legends up to date with SOP process is important. We've got training manuals and communication bots in our driver application that keep our legends up to steam with progress and how things are moving. So it's full scale. It's not just a case of onboard a legend in an area and just wait. There's a lot that goes behind the scenes, both from our internal workforce in our head office in Cape Town and obviously Johannesburg. And it's constant and enjoyable. We're enjoying it thoroughly. So yeah, hope that answers your question.
No, it certainly does, because one of the things that it helps to conceptualize is the fact that, you know, by having one, what's interesting to me the most about a business like Pickup is that the model, because of, what do you call this, because of the, I'm going to call it the crowdsourced part of it, the gig economy piece of it, it reminds me so much of cloud computing, right? Because a lot of the time people that make the case for cloud computing tend to talk about the ability to flex the amount of compute power that you need based on your requirements and workloads at a given point in time, as opposed to having your own you know, servers and, you know, compute power on premises. You know, you can literally pay for what you need to use. And I'm thinking about the example that you're giving around, you know, companies like your Waltons, you know, etc., to say that for you guys are probably providing that flexibility for businesses, you know, to say that, you know, if demand goes up for a Waltons, then they can probably just get more drivers from you guys, you know, to fulfill, you know, whatever demand is there. If it's a bit of a quiet spell, then, you know, you require less drivers, as opposed to if you had your own logistics component in your business, where you have a set number of drivers. If it's busy, they're stretched. If it's not busy, then you have a lot of people, you know, that are sitting idle.
Absolutely. It's a large part of the next phase we're going into now, specifically with customers, where we can actually take actionable data and provide insights to these companies, so that they can better understand, you know, where they're spending their money. Naturally, the bigger companies like Walton's, it's important for them to sweat their assets as best as possible, less downtime, and where they have, where the assets are not being utilized 100%, you know, that requires decision making. So often these big companies around South Africa don't have the data to that informs them on how to make these decisions and when to make these decisions. So it's a big part of our relationship with the Cartrack team is to start bringing this data, providing it to customers, so that they can cut two vehicles, you know, cutting two vehicles every single day over the year is a huge cost factor. And if they're able to possibly use one of the a pickup crowdsource driver to facilitate volume when it goes up, it makes sense. You know, they might cost a little bit more in those peak times. But if they take the average overall through the course of the year, they certainly are saving money. So that's kind of that's where we're in at the moment is, you know, now that we are at a place where we can start, working with this data and really understanding it, it's quite exciting because, you can actually start making, informed decisions, helping customers make informed decisions on where they can, improve their business further. So, and a good part about it for us, as Pickup, you know, our IP is 100% owned by ourselves. And it's one of the biggest challenge, obviously, as any startup goes through in the early stages of their business life cycle is really understanding how to, if you're in a big industry like we tackled in the logistics industry, everyone starts small and you grow, but typically we've always had, you know, we've thought big and looked at, what happens if this logistics sector booms, you know, how do we manage scale? How do we go from paying, 100 drivers a week to paying 4,000 a week? You know, there's complete systems in the background that are administered by our internal workforce. But a lot of the tech, drives and runs, how drivers are paid, on a weekly basis. And yeah, that's really one of the most exciting parts that we've seen. Obviously we have challenges like any big company, you know, when you scale, there are issues here or there, but it's how you deal with them. We've managed to work through that very, very well with a very solid team. And a phenomenal legend driver base. We're really proud of our network of drivers and Matt, go from strength to strength. So yeah.
When you look at what's going on in the local market on that front, we've spoken about the flexibility that a platform like Pickup is able to give to businesses, and then also at the same time the fact that you guys are going to be using data, that's probably going to be, you know, quite a bit of a game changer, because, you know, you're adding that much more value, to the end user. Online activity, right? Because I wanted to switch to what you call this, to e-commerce, to get a sense of what you are seeing, you know, in the market. And I wanted to actually read something that you said to us, back in 2019, Yes, back in 2019, actually 2020, it was just as we went into lockdown. We asked a question, it was a Q&A that we did with you, and we just asked a question to say, how has coronavirus affected business of late? And you said that with the coronavirus, apart from the companies that have been using our services for some time now, we're getting a lot of requests from food companies, especially. And one can understand, you know, where that was coming from, where that was happening. And I wanted to get a sense of, you know, what type of businesses. We've used Walton's quite a bit as an example throughout this discussion, but what type of businesses are, you know, using the pickup service? Back in 2020, you noted that increase in demand from food companies for your services. But at the moment, how has that evolved?
Yeah, we've been quite active even with most of the food companies, a lot of the food companies around South Africa. You know, the likes of a UCook, we started with them from when they kicked off the platform, and we're still we're active with UCook. We do all of their distribution, and that's really exciting. It's a story that we talk about often in the office, how we've grown and scaled our businesses together. During COVID, there were a lot of food companies that obviously required our service, companies needing to activate a delivery service without sort of face-to-face presence. You know, to literally integrate some tech and start delivering. So we had a lot of companies, a lot of new companies, just come at us looking for the service, and subsequently a lot of them have closed down. Obviously, the likes of your quick commerce deliveries and your 60/60 and your Woolies Dash and Pick and Pay ASAP, that's grown exponentially over the years, last 2 years. You know, that's kind of also, I think, some of the more meal companies have taken a bit of a knock from quick commerce and the rise of it. But yeah, in terms of, our customer base, it's vast. A lot of companies use pickup on a daily, weekly basis. And, you know, there's maybe it's a good opportunity for me to talk about sort of the two types. There's the quick commerce and there's the scheduled. So the scheduled services are more like an order. People are ordering ahead of time for their meals, that week, and we facilitate that whole process where we deliver the meals either on a particular day or on a day for the whole week. So yeah, we've got a vast amount of companies still on our platform, and I wouldn't say it's as busy as it was in COVID. We have a lot of companies have fallen off, struggled to keep up with the rising costs. Fuel obviously has pushed up a lot of the costs and provided challenges to these companies. So it's a growing space. I see more of the opportunity around quick commerce is really what's gearing the market at the moment. So yeah.
And you know, great to hear that. I guess that big evolution. So it sounds like food is still a big part, you know, of the base when it looks at the business. So we've sort of drawn a line from where you guys have come from as a business to where you guys are right now. So in these last minutes of the discussion, I wanted to maybe peer into the future a little bit, because I'm pretty sure that a company like yours is looking at the trends. You're looking at all of the activity in the market, and undoubtedly there's no bigger news, you know, in South Africa's e-commerce space than the fact that we're anticipating an entry from Amazon in 2023. Your thoughts just around that opportunity, competition, threat. How are you guys thinking around that particular development?
Yeah, Yeah, the space is definitely eating up. Obviously, all eyes are on the whole the Amazon coming into South Africa. From our perspective, we're sticking to our guns. I think the opportunities is big. Our focus at the moment really is solidifying our network of legends and making sure we've got an adequate supply of business on a daily basis to them. We've got an incredibly large database. So it's really about actively increasing the volume, ensuring that the network stays healthy and are earning. The more they earn, the stronger the business is. And that's really our focus is to drive quality into the network, the rest will take care of itself. There are some challenges, I think, for conventional logistics players, just in how they operate, fixed overheads, that does limit scale and speed. You know, we kind of ticking the boxes with the fact that we don't own a vehicle, and we're able to scale as quickly as we need to. Managing that's the most important thing, and we're fortunate that we at a place now where when we engage with customers, we look at how their business will complement the other businesses on the platform, and then we marry it together. As I mentioned earlier, we are actively looking at we're moving into the food space with providing delivery as a service to the likes of customers like Nando's. So we're actively looking at that specifically to drive more volume to our driver network. I think the more work they get through our platform, the stronger our platform gets, and that's really where the value comes in for pickup. It's a big focus of ours is to strengthen that over the coming months. And then, like I said, the rest will take care of itself. We just got to make sure we're building the right tech that services our customers. And we're quite excited about what's to come. So looking forward to it.
That's a very interesting thought right there, just around the toss up of having your own logistics network versus doing a crowdsource type of model like the one that you have. And I'm very interested to see what model Amazon decides to take on in South Africa, simply because the biggest e-commerce player is Takealot. And Takealot appears to have come in with a bit of a hybrid situation, because they have, I know that a part of their network is people that are employed by Takealot, but a lot of the people that they employ are people that are across the group, someone who's at Mr. D, someone who's Takealot, a lot of your gig economy type of drivers. So you have, a bit of a hybrid, going on that front. So very interesting it'll be interesting to see what approach Amazon takes when it comes to that particular piece. So before we let you go, Antonio, just your thoughts, just peering into the future to say, this seems like a very interesting business model, and looking at the competitive space actually, right? On this particular platform, the only other business that we've interacted with, which works on, I'm going to call it somewhat similar lines, is Pargo. We've engaged with Pargo before, but getting a sense from you around what the competitive landscape looks like, and I guess the advice for business owners who decide to engage with a company like Pickup, right? How do you decide, or how do you pick the right logistics provider for your e-commerce operation?
Yeah, I think any business, small or large, really, I think they're going to look at speed. I think looking at technology that allows them to get moving and get up and running as quickly as possible. Speed and service. Not companies trying to go too wide. Focusing on where their strengths is important. I think there's opportunities all around for the smaller logistics providers. There are a lot of on demand niche. I would say delivery providers in certain that are strong in certain areas around the country. So it's even possibly to start with maybe partnering up with them until your volumes are at a place where you can actually adopt a more of a national bring in a national platform that you can then start leveraging off and increasing your customer base. So from a customer point of view, there are a lot of options out there. I think it's the ones you work best with up front, and then as you scale, move quickly, understand who the players are that can help you scale and grow. And if Pickup's one of them, please engage with us and see how we can, how our business complement each other and now we can, how we can grow. We're very customer centric. So it's a hugely exciting space. For us essentially is we at that place now where we really want to drive performance in with our customers. It's we got a lot of the blue chip customers in South Africa, and it's really about bringing quality of service and providing confidence to their customers really that this on demand gig economy space works. It was very over the years leading up into sort of before COVID is questionable, customers were like, well, how do we trust an on-demand driver to pick up the parcel and deliver it? And it's happening. I mean, we do today we are record for us being Black Friday. We'll probably hit around 40 or 50,000 parcels delivered for the day. And something like that is, not owning a vehicle and doing that amount of deliveries surely shows that you're doing something right. And mistakes happen as well. We do have issues with legends that, but we deal with them quickly. We get in, we understand where the problem is. We deal with the legend quickly. We provide the right service to customers. So we focusing on our customers, providing the service to them, and the rest can take care of itself. Let's see where the market goes. I'm excited to talk to you again in a year's time and see how we've progressed from today and maybe the next Black Friday.
Now, we're certainly excited to see how things develop over time and the activity that will be, happening on the platform as things progress and as more and more activity happens, in the e-commerce space. I think it's quite indicative of the potential that e-commerce has in South Africa when looking at the growth of a business like Pickup. But given the relatively small e-commerce and online retail is in the wider retail space in South Africa, still less than 10% of the total pie. So imagine what the landscape looks like when e-commerce and online retail pushes itself to those 20-30% type of levels before we even get to half the type of growth and what that landscape particularly looks like. I think one of the big things on my end where that really made me take notice of this type of model is when we saw a couple of years ago Uber and Bolt actually taking on a similar type of concept, but more on a consumer level. And I know a number of small businesses that I've interacted with that make use of something like that. Because back in the day, if I went to Antonio's place and I left my coat there, instead of trying to drive back to Antonio's house, one or two people had the bright idea to say, actually, I can just send an Uber to Antonio's house and he can get my coat. quote and, you know, come and give it to me. And over time, I think the platform owners saw what was happening and decided to, you know, get in on that. And a number of small businesses have taken advantage of that. So there really is a lot of growth and legs, you know, in this platform now, which is still, according to Antonio, hinged quite a bit by what's going on in terms of the food delivery space. That tends to be a very big driver at the moment, and also just general companies looking to have that logistics layer in their business. We are recording this on Black Friday, which is the 25th of November, and a big prediction coming out is that they're going to do 40,000-50,000 you know, packages or deliveries today, which is a massive you know, amount of interactions. But like I said, imagine that the pie is still that online retail is still relatively small. Imagine where we'll be when you have that wide mainstream adoption at those 20% and 30% type of levels. So that's been it. We were chatting, very fascinating conversation. We're chatting with Antonio Bruni, who is founder and CEO over at Pickup, which is now a part of Karoo. Antonio, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madiba.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.